September 13, 2023. This program is brought to you by New Africa Excellent Enterprise LLC, Imam Dr. Marad Speaks Black Talk Radio, where we teach Quranic Arabic, Islamic studies, and comparative religion, not just religion. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. With Allah's name, the merciful benefactor, the merciful redeemer. As-salam alaykum, which means peace be on you. I'm your host for this evening, Ilahi Bey. My topic this evening is Al-Islam, the tafsir of Imam Waruth Deen Muhammad, commentary of the Holy Quran. If you have missed any of the talks, go online to www.blogtalkradio.drmaradspeaks.com and you'll be able to listen to the one that you have missed. Once again, we will open with a short dua and then we will continue where we left off last Thursday. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Wassalatu wassalamu ala rasulihu kareem. Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mubarak. Before we get started this evening, we are asking everyone to make a dua, a prayer, for all those people that lost their life in Libya and Turkey due to the flood. May Allah forgive them and grant them paradise. The Quran Surah 32, Ayah 7, everything created good, dignified. God says, everything and things has been created with dignity, good, respect, and grains of sand, sugar, and your intelligence will be elevated. The Quran Surah 32, Ayah 7, everything created excellent, respectable. The Quran Surah 32, Ayah 7, dignity, respect everybody's thing. So the inherent respect and the honor that God gives us, Prophet Muhammad said, when God created everything, he created dignity and respect for that thing. In that thing, it is written, inscribed in everything or upon everything, dignity, respect, and honor. The Quran Surah 32, Ayah 7, everything created excellent, respectable. So when we are working with anything, the carpenter has a respect for wood. If he is a good carpenter, he has a respect for wood. God put that in our nature. So the thing that pleases us and satisfies us, we have a respect for it. So we place high values on those things that bring great pleasures to us. So the musician that can play great music, he has an instrument. He loves that instrument. He respects that instrument. He has a special respect for his instrument. So if we keep the respect, God said, we have certainly made respectable everything. Interfaith, morals, religion. Interfaith, God supports all good people's efforts. The Quran Surah 2, Ayah 62, whether Christian, Jew, Muslim, Sabian, the Quran Surah 62, Ayah 7, good everything. Al-Hadith, page 2, 169 and 151, excellent in everything. 40 Hadith, page 64, 17, excellence, everything. Al-Islam is dependent upon God alone. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says he will publish his religion himself. In the Quran, don't think it is not going to be published. God will publish his religion himself. So look how worldly known Al-Islam is now. Look how worldly affected Al-Islam is now in civilized quarters of the world. Do you think do you think you did that with your dawah? No. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said he will publish it himself. And how will he do that? In the many ways that only God can tell us, in the many ways that only God can tell us. But as a small human being on this earth, I can perceive the many ways this is happening because God is with all good, and God is with all good people. God supports all good efforts, excellent morals and everything. God had designed excellence for everything. As Prophet Muhammad, prayers and the peace be upon him, said, excellence has been prescribed into the very nature, composition, constitution of everything by the maker of it all. God has put an inspiration for excellence right into it. So whether you consciously do it or not, that working in you as a potent power, a potent substance, is working in you as potent elements to drive you to do better and better and better. And sometimes it eliminates you because you just won't respond. But it keeps going. It catches the next one. Your child, your daughter, your son. It keeps going, pushing the humanity forward. It's a faith, respect, religion, other religious groups. The other thoughts that I want to leave with you is this. As servants of El-Islam, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, in the path of God, in El-Islam, you have to be aware that this is the time for inclusion, unity, cooperation. People who are doing similar works have to respect each other. Christians, Jews are doing similar works. And other religions, if God recognizes other religions, you perhaps don't know anything about this. These people called the Sabians in the Quran. God recognizes them. Respect the word of God. He recognizes the Sabians and respected them enough to say, if you are one of them and have faith in God and you believe and do good works, you will have paradise. Your reward will be with your Lord God. Here we are in America, 1998. We're on this great planet in 1998, and we are seeing works done by people of the book and by others who are good. You have to appreciate that. Don't just hear it and say, since the imam has been talking to us, I don't really hate them anymore. You have to go further than that. You have to applaud them, and you have to do it from your heart. You have to have it in your heart to applaud the good works of anybody. The Quran Surah 33, Ayat 5, adopted child called by their father's name. 1 Corinthians 7:14, people called by my name. Revelation 22:4, his name shall be in their forehead. So name change. The tradition of taking on a different name started in the Nation of Islam under the leadership of the Honorable Elijah Muhammad. Under his leadership, it was done to fulfill the need of identity for his followers. Many African Americans are very uncomfortable with themselves and still suffer from what we call identity problems. The Nation of Islam made its adherents very comfortable with their identity because it connected them back with Africa and to El-Islam. So in doing so, it proved that they had an Islamic as well as an African past. Therefore, that made it very easy for the people to accept the new identity as their own. The Honorable Elijah Muhammad made Muslims synonymous with self in a kind of catechism. He said, what is your own self? And his answer was, your own self as a righteous Muslim. For his followers, Muslims was not just Arab in Arab, and he was correct because Muslims are all over the world, and they are of all nations. He also said, you will get a Muslim name one day. I was not given the authority to give you a Muslim name. Therefore, I give you an X. So name X means unknown. And we did not know our ancestral family names. So I had always thought about that and wanted to know why he gave his followers an X. I had learned that X means unknown, and he and we as a people did not know our ancestral family names. So in studying our history, I found out that the slave could not write the English language. Perhaps some of them were good, written in Arabic, and some African dialect, because many of them were Muslims and their language was Arabic. Some slaves were from the Sudan and other places with Muslim population. During slavery, when the master wanted to write our name, he said, write your name or put your X. And that is how the X got started. So the slave would put his X, meaning I don't have a name or I do not know how to write my name. So the Honorable Elijah Muhammad was saying the same thing. You don't know, you don't have a last name, therefore I am giving you an X. So choosing Muslim names complements your good nature. It is practiced all around the world that when Muslims embrace the religion of Al-Islam, or Islam as it is commonly known, called, they take on a Muslim name. But if you have a good name with good meanings and you are comfortable with that name, you do not have to change it. We meet many Muslims who have African or Western names. It is in my opinion that if they have good names and they are Muslim names, though by description, they are not Muslim names. After all, why do you take on a Muslim name? It is because you want a name that has good meaning. You want a name that complements your good nature and the excellence of your being. So the best names are in the name of God. And I found that many Christian names comes from the name of God. If you study Christian names and trace their meanings in history, you will find that many of them come from names that are attributes to God or as an attribute to God. So members of the American Muslim Mission changed their names in the tradition of their previous experience in the Nation of Islam. The Nation of Islam was concerned with dignifying and giving our people a natural relationship with themselves and their whole life. And this is what we are trying to do. My advice is that if a person is comfortable with a name, he should keep it, even though it is not a typical Arab or Muslim name. After all, we are concerned about our family relationships, and many times when a person takes on a new name, it hurts the family members. Many families do not have a problem with other members joining a different religion, but they are hurt when a family member takes on a new name. To them, the new name suggests a kind of separation from the rest of the family. I do not encourage people to take on names without a lot of thought. If you want to take on a new name, discuss it with family members that are not Muslim. You should say to them, I am a Muslim now, and I would like to take on a Muslim name. Now, if you see that changing your name is going to hurt your family and the name that you have is not really misrepresenting you, then you should give it a lot of thought before changing your family name. Now, I wouldn't want to be called John Doe. If I had a name like that, I would tell my family, look, I'm sorry if you all don't understand why I want to change this name. I'm sorry. And that would be it. I would then take on another name. So I would like to repeat, if you desire to change your name, you should first consult with other family members before doing so. Family, child, father's name. The Quran, Surah 33, Ayat 5, adopted child called by their father's name. The Quran, Surah 8, Ayat 75, family has rights. So telling a child he has no father walks the development. I hear some say, oh, he never had a father. I said, that is impossible. He had a father and many mothers. They will not tell their children that they had a father, saying, he was no good and I'm not even going to mention him to my son. And they will tell the child, you did not have a father. Every human being, every living thing had a mother and a father. And we should not ever tell them that. Confusion and burden on their souls and psyche. And it will walk their development many times. It will deform their spiritual, mental, psychological development, the psyche. So do not tell them that. They hear other children, and they know that everybody else has a father. That is a great burden on them if you say you had no father. They all had a father. I do not care if he was a murderer, a rapist who raped you. Still, he had a father. Don't tell him he did not have a father. Say, you had a father, but Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala saw fit to keep them out of your life. He would have been bad for you, or he was not the kind of person that would make you a good father. But acknowledge that there was a father. So even if he was a criminal, you're supposed to acknowledge his name in al-Islam. You are supposed to say so-and-so is your father. So when the child is out of your charge, and should be able to make his decision for himself as to whether he wants to see his father or be with his father, even if he was a criminal. The right of human life is more important than personal feelings and stuff. They have rights to human life. The right to human life is also the right to a father and a mother. And to know that you had a father and a mother, even though one of them or both of them are bad people. Faith in the community, essence, not self. The Quran, Surah 33, Ayat 6, prophet closer to believers than themselves. So if the imam had said faith in the common essence, of all human beings, faith in the common essence of all human beings. The essence that God created, the essence is typified in Prophet Muhammad. So when we say faith in Prophet Muhammad, we are saying faith in the human being. So the human being as he should be. So we are not all as we should be. We have to have one amongst us that stands for what all of us should be. Then we have faith in that one, you see, and faith in that one will motivate us towards being what we all should be. We will get closer and closer to that acceptable model that Almighty God approves. God approved Prophet Muhammad. He is the acceptable model. Prophet is the human in his perfection. So we have faith in Prophet Muhammad, and not merely because of his essence, his humanism. That's why I say there's still a problem, even if we put it in that way. It is not faith because of his human essence alone. It is faith because now the human essence has been blessed with divine revelation. So we have faith in Prophet Muhammad because he really is us in our perfection. But he is more than that. He is us in our perfection with the revelation from God. We don't have faith in a human being simply because he's true to his essence. Obey human essence earns revelation. So we have faith in a human being because now he has received the guidance from God. It is not my essence that delivered me, brother. My essence, if I remain true to my essence bring me to become worthy of God's favor. And if I be true to what God has made me, and God has made me a Muslim, if I be true to my nature, to my essence that God has made, and yield my will to him, become a faithful person, then God will reward that with the blessing of inspiration, if I am truly worthy. And if it is his will, he will bless that particular human essence with revelation. The Quran, Surah 33, Ayah 6, Prophet closer to believers than their own self. The Quran, Surah 18, Ayah 110, Prophet human mortal like you. So faith in the common essence of all human beings that God created, although that still is a problem because that's not the way we are supposed to say it. The essence is typified in Prophet Muhammad, prayers and the peace be upon him. When we say faith in Prophet Muhammad, prayers and the peace be upon him, we are saying faith in the human being as he should be. So we are not all as we should be. We have to have one amongst us that stands for what we all should be. Then we have faith in that one. So God approves Muhammad. He is the acceptable model. And not merely because of his essence, his humanism. It's not faith because of his human essence alone. It is faith because now the human essence have been blessed with divine revelation. So we have faith in Prophet Muhammad because he is the really us and our perfection. But he is more than that. He is us and our perfection with revelation from God. So we don't have faith in a human being simply because he's true to his essence. We have faith in a human being because now he has received the guidance from God. It is not my essence that delivered me, brothers. My essence, if I remain true to my essence, then my essence brings me to become worthy of God's favor. And if it be true to what God has made me, and God has made me a Muslim, if I be true to my nature, to my essence that God has made, and yield my will to him, become a faithful person, then God will reward that with the blessings of inspiration, not revelation. If I am truly worthy and if it's his will, he will bless that particular essence, or he will bless that particular human essence with revelation. This program is brought to you by New Africa Excellent Enterprise, LLC. Imam Dr. Miraj speaks Black Talk Radio. Prophet Muhammad said, as a human like you, meaning that he is no superhuman being. He is a common human, not out of the human essence, in the human essence, not above the human plane, on the human plane, with all other humans. What rises him up to the position of leadership, it is his willingness and nature to conform to the very nature that God created for human beings, then receiving the blessings of revelation from Almighty God. The Quran, Surah 33, Ayah 6, family has rights prophet closer to the believers. Get my wife a Mercedes. Get plenty of women. Plenty of spending money, man. I'm in heaven. But truthfully, he is just another foolish heart. Prophet Muhammad, prayers and the peace be upon him, said, no one of you can become believers until you desire to go after what I have come to you with. Desires are expressions of the heart. But now, what are desires? Desires are expressions of the heart. The Bible says, as a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. There is also another saying, where a man's heart is, that's where he will be also. So if your heart is then showing off with those things that cause you to lose stable, the basic life, then that is where you are. When we say we love our family and yet we spend most of our time chasing the show of this world, we are fooling ourselves. If you love your family, you will be building up your family. That is if the above saying of scriptures are correct, and I believe they are. If you truly love your family, you are deceiving yourself. When you do something, pardon me, when you do such things, a foolish heart will deceive you. Actually, you don't really love your family. If you did, you would spend your resources on building up your family life and not on making a show. Importance of family life. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us in the Quran that family ties have the first right before God in the book of obedience, in the book of his command. He has established that family rights, family relationships come before other matters. So this is where the African American has gone wrong, because cohesiveness and unity of the African family was destroyed when we were brought to America and put into slavery. When we were freed after centuries of enslavement, our objective should have been to restore healthy family life, healthy relationships between the female, the family members, for mama, for papa, for the grandchild parents, for the elderly, for the young, and healthy respect by the parents for their children. We should have set our eyes on the future with the family welfare in mind, because that is what was destroyed. But the devil defeated us. He went to work and we never got around to rebuilding our broken family life. He dangled before our hungry eyes the attractive things of the world. He raised in us the desire for better clothing, more money, better transportation. They went from another pretty, a want for another pretty wife, etc. Neglect of the family is a shortcoming in the African-American community. 55% of our children are born to teenagers, 50% of homes without fathers, and 42% of households are headed by a female. There are more single-parent families among the African Americans proportionately than among any other group. There are also more deserted wives, deserted children, and mistreated husbands. Often the husband has few or if any rights. So now we know that these are African Americans who have beautiful model families. They are not spending all of their money on outside spiritual, superficial, and glamorous things just to show off. They live a moderate life. putting monies up for the future so that the young generation will have a better start than they had. So they are some families doing that. They are very hard to find. But many of those who I have met who are doing this are very selfish. They wouldn't give another man's child a peanut. So we need to reestablish healthy family concern. We must also understand that family makes up races and nations. In other words, the family effects must be extended so that it complements and strengthens the entire race. So you must take into account the need for your race. When you educate your children, right now, we have people who want to follow the trend. They want to train all of our children for computers. Some wants to train all of them for government jobs. So we can have all of them in government jobs and computers, and the life of the race will still be neglected. This program is brought to you by New Africa Excellent Enterprise, LLC. Imam Dr. Maraj speaks Black Talk Radio. So financial resources needed. We should let the need of our race decide what field we should pursue. We don't have to look all over the United States to decide what we need to be doing. Look around you, and you will probably find a good sample of what we need all over the earth. We don't have financial forces, and this we need. All we have are welfare and cars to be punched by a clock. So what we need are the same things the man has who is dictating our life to us. We need money, some financial sources that we can go to and ourselves, just like the ones they can go to. He has more than the welfare and the car to be punched. I don't have to pray all day to see what we need to do. It is very clear. We must use common sense. Get the things other people have who are in strong position. If we don't, then we are accepting weak positions. Some people claim that all we need are more jobs, and we need to get more opening in the government. Today, many believe that all we need is to get into computers. Getting into computers is nothing but another check to punch, another promise. It is only going to last as long as that interest is high. As soon as that interest cools, we will have to find a new field of work, and we will still be without what the other man has who is dictating our life to us. Socialism wages fixed by who? To limit us like slavery, to predict our economic strength. So there are people who are now trying to establish a socialist concepts here in America. In fact, they started many years ago encouraging everybody to go on fixed wages. But who is fixing the wages? It is not the African-American. He is the one accepting fixed wages. So those who want to push this kind of life on us will say of me, oh, he is not a comrade. He is not one of us. He is not one on a fixed salary. No, I am not. I am not their comrade. And if that is what they are talking about, my soul is against that. My soul still burns because of the fixed salary, the days of slavery. During those days, we couldn't make any more than the master would allow us to make. The master fixed our wages then, and today, we still will want us to punt a clock. so he can decide how much we can earn. Why is this so? It is because he wants to tell the government how much every nigga is going to make for the rest of his life. If these people can get up to accept a regimented life, they will be able to predict what the strength of our race will be for the rest of our lives. But when we step forward and exercise our rights as Americans, just as they are doing, they cannot tell anybody where we are going to be in the future. They could no longer predict where we are going. I admire the Muslim who looks for good investments, who wants to be businessmen. They are the true Americans. The Americans are not looking for a red band. This country was not built for socialists or communists. Socialists wants to regiment the life of the masses. Why should we be the first ones to buy slavery? We just came out of slavery. If some others want to buy their social problem with fixed salaries, holding everybody down to some specific limit, let them do it. We still have not had our chance to enjoy wealth. We have not had a chance to dignify our people economically. We have not had a chance to prove ourselves in the economic system we call free enterprise. Why should we be socialism or communism and we have not had the freedom to prove that we can compete with the Irishman, the Italian, the Chinese, the Korean? We have not had the chance to prove that we can compete with them in a free society. Today we have the same opportunities as others. And we should not let anyone deny us the opportunity to do as they have done in this society. The Quran, Surah 33, Ayat 6. Family has rights over believers. Prophet Muhammad is our original self. The Quran, Surah 33, Ayat 6, Prophet closer believers than self. The Quran, Surah 7, Ayat 157, he came down with the light. John 3:13, having none, ascended none unless came down. Bukhari, page 8, 246, Adam 60 cubit arm length. So Muhammad retained flesh purity and moral innocence, pardon me. And Muhammad, prayer and the peace be upon him, also said, also had lived even without God revealing anything to him for 40 years. And he had retained the flesh purity and the mortal innocence that God created for all human beings. And therefore God selected him from amongst the followers, his fellow citizens, and selected him to be the messenger of all people and told him, I know that they will think that you are something above human because being something above human, being too, because you are going to do marvelous things. Tell them I am a human mortal like you are. Anna Basharun Mutlikun, I am a human person, a human mortal like you are. Slavery under God is your maximum freedom. This program is brought to you by New Africa Excellent Enterprise, LLC, Imam Dr. Miraj Speaks, Blog Talk Radio. And then they will still, not without a unanimous decision, there were many who didn't agree with their portrayal of Jesus Christ as God and man. I'm still talking about what I started out talking about, the human being in the excellent created form. for you, for your freedom and for your prosperity. When Muhammad said, and none will rise or go up except one that pattern that he gave, Adam. He is saying that you won't have prosperity. You won't have happiness. You won't have until you conform to the pattern of life that God created for Adam. I got all of these notes and I don't need any of them because this has been my subject for over 50 years. Praise be to Allah. So the Bible says something similar. It says, no one has risen to heaven except him who was in heaven already. Al-Islam is the true freedom, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala brings us to this true freedom by telling us that we were created to be his slave, but a slave of God, if he is not a fanatic or a drunkard drinking the wine of revelation and not understanding the plain teaching, if he is not confused, slavery under God is your maximum freedom. Slavery to your creator is your maximum freedom. It's the true freedom. It's the freedom your heart and your soul, God gave you once, is that true freedom. And look how strategy revealed to a mortal amongst us in his human excellence before he got revelation, broke the grip of slavery. God addresses all of this, all of us, as Ibad of God. Ibad, you, Ya Ibadullah. Ya Ibadullah, here are all humans. Being especially the man being called by God, pardon me, accepting by God and the slave of God. Bilal heard that, and he refused to go anymore being a slave of the man. He, pardon me, have to clear my throat, pardon me. Refused to obey his master, and his master tortured him to get him to conform and go back to his selfish behavior. He had before, and Bilal would rather die than to do that. So he had lived for 40 years amongst false idols and false idol worshippers, and had retained a human mold that God created for Adam. Let's follow that man and love him more than we love our families, love him more than we love our own selves, because he is our original self par excellence. Muhammad is the complete man because he brought his community to the promised land. The Quran, Surah 3, Ayah 6, Muhammad closer to believer than own selves. Bukhari, page 113, believers not until love profit most. Matthew 10:35-37, Jesus set family against itself. Pardon me. Ourselves back to our father Adam, and not God. Adam is our father, God is our creator, and earning his acceptance of us, that we are united again in that great relationship with our original nature and our own selves, our life. What will help the Muslim follow and do what the prophet, prayers and the peace be upon him, did? And look at Imam W.D. Muhammad for an example. It is not mentioned because our own family members and the whole of mankind, because mother wasn't that important back there in those days. Men cared more about his father and brothers because they worked together and made money and fought together and got over on people, so he needed the man. His attachment was to his father than his brothers. That's why the mother wasn't mentioned. And even the whole of mankind, why? Because if you have what Muhammad prays in the peace be upon him is, that is the complete man. Even Abraham didn't live to see the promised land. Muhammad prays in the peace be upon him was the man who brought his community to the promised land while he was living. So he is the complete man. And if you don't love that man who lived not selfishly, but live for the whole of humanity, then you don't have a real love. Your love is not complete. And if you have a chance between him, if you have to choose between him and your babies, your relatives, your family, you have to choose him and sacrifice the family if you have a choice between the whole of mankind, all the people on earth. And him, you have to choose him and cut the whole world loose. Why? Because if you stay with him, you will bring the whole world back. The Quran, Surah 34, Ayah 24, above and from below. Pardon me. Pointing firstly to its creator, but also pointing to the other things in creation that are similar to it, to have us understand the scheme of matter, the plane for matter, etc. But I also can use the language this so-called modern secular world too, and it satisfied me with who was it Einstein? And many others. Einstein came up with the theory of relativity. Scientists in the field will say, what? Not a Muslim? Just any scientist? He will say, yes, that is a truth. But it's relative. It's relative. That's what he'll say, meaning that you have to see its relations with something else. With earth, sun, because it couldn't get that without sunshine. So I could get it in growth without the earth to give us food. And really, the sky gives us Allah, subhanahu wa ta'ala, says, this before modern science says that he feeds from above and also from below. That's what Allah, subhanahu wa ta'ala, says. Now, science tells us that where there are rain and lightning and thunder and the nutrients are formed above in the sky by the lightning and the charge of polarity, the field of electricity and charges of it and everything, those charges and others I didn't mention form natures and the water. Is not all water. I used to believe that until I read this. I was a grown man with a family, so that the sky, and thought that the sky rained only water. Sky rained only water, we wouldn't have the lustrous and plentiful and beautiful harvest from our gardens and from that we have. It rains also nutrients. Nutrients also comes in the rain. And the raindrops comes down with water and nutrients. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala revealed that. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said he feeds if he's only water, he is not feeding, he's giving drink. So that's not feeding. So water is just giving drink for thirst. But if he got some materials inside the water, he's giving food and drink. And that's what science says. I think I'm an imam, and I am, because I love science and I love the material world. And if we don't love what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the material world, and he made us and he made us to benefit from the material world. Pardon me. If we don't love a relationship with that material world, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made to give us our material bodies and to encourage us and to engage our intelligence and thinking minds and studious minds, then we are missing what is number one to develop our intellect and to be a real good student, productive, creative. Allah, jobless, hunger, poverty. The Quran, Surah 34, Ayah 24, Allah feeds from above and below. Now, Islam wants to condition us for the work we have to do for our families and our neighborhood and our world. And how does it condition us? It tells us that the things that are invisible, those things that are not seen, they are stronger than the visible, what you see. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, look at the sky, see how those bodies are held up there. And it seems as though there are not structures to support them. They are not supported by visible structures. There are planets up there, Jupiter, much bigger than the sun, much heavier than the earth. But we can go out there and get a telescope sometimes, maybe. And we can see it with our eyes if we know where to look. For it is up there in space, suspended in space. And it seems as though nothing is holding it up. Now, we know something is holding it up when we learn science, astronomy, etc. We know what's holding it up. But science has identified what is holding it up. But for the human eye, we don't see anything holding it up. So imagine that the earth that we are on right now, we could not know the size of it unless science had not discovered how to measure the size and size of the earth, how to know something about it. We wouldn't know how to measure it. We would think it was endless. You don't see any end to the earth. You keep going. You think it is endless. Look how amazing God's creation is. We can't really know it with our common senses, with our common mind. Look at space. These are the things God wants us to think about so that we will be conditioned to be successful in this, in our life on earth. He wants us to have faith. So he created a world to signal you. Things that tell your thoughts and excite your intellect, excite your mind, and make you want to ask questions. Why? How long? Where does it end? Where are we going? These are the thoughts that brought people to believe in God and become thinkers and later seers and later messengers and prophets of God, looking at the wonders of creation. So God wants to prepare us to be successful, so he made a creation to prepare us to be successful. Then he revealed about the sky and he said, look at the sky, how he made it. Then he tells us that he feeds not only from the earth, but he says he feeds us both from the sky and the earth. Then we study science and learn from science, nutrients come down with the rain, not just rain. He said he made the earth to give all of that you need, that is what God says. He made it to be enough for you and your needs. But yet we have a lot of people starving, a lot of people saying that they don't have work. Was God wrong? No. God is right. The world is wrong. There should be nobody starving. There should be nothing who is unable to work out of work, able to work out of work. We had a congressman pushing for full employment. Still should be pushing for full employment. There is no need for anyone who wants to work to be out of a job, and no need for anybody to be hungry. You hear about it, the war on poverty? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, God declared the first war on poverty when God told Jews, Christians, and others, and us, not to be comfortable while our brothers and sisters are suffering. That is the war on poverty. Many has too much, and many have nothing. That is not good. It is not God's fault. It is the world's fault that who are not listening to God and not obeying God, and they have these ugly things happening to us on this earth, these ugly conditions in our lives on this earth. So there are the thoughts that bring the people to believe in God and become thinkers and later seers and later messengers and prophets of God, looking at the wonders of creation. Salakallahu ladeen, surely Allah speaks the truth. I'm your host for this evening, Elihu Bey. Before we go, we are asking everyone to make a dua, a prayer, for all those people that lost their lives in Libya and Turkey due to the flood and the dams that was broken. We ask everyone to pray for them, pray for their soul. May God have mercy on them and bless them with the paradise. Thank you. I'm your host for this evening, Elihu Bey. We will continue this next week, or pardon me, not next week, tomorrow at 7 p.m. inshallah. Wednesdays and Thursdays of my day. May God guide us and have mercy on us and bless us with the light of understanding as I greet you in the Arabic language. Assalamu alaikum, peace be unto you, and thank you for listening.